Between now and the beginning of Lent, I will be preaching a series of sermons on the priorities of life. Today, I want to speak to you on the priority of giving. Giving to God and the church is very important because it's His way of enabling us to support the building of His kingdom and the blessing of His people. Former President Calvin Coolidge once said this: "No enterprise can exist for itself alone. It must minister to some great need or perform some great service, not for itself, but for others. Or, in failing therein, it ceases to be profitable and it ceases to exist." In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and in the 9th chapter, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about a congregation that has modeled good stewardship. Listen to the word of God. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. These churches include Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica, churches in the northern part of Greece. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty, they have welled up in generosity. For I testify to you that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he or she has decided in his or her heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. because of the service by which you have proven yourselves, men and women will praise God for obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It's the word of God for the people of God. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is talking about a time when he appealed to the churches in Macedonia to give money to help needy people in Judea. It's interesting in a couple of ways. First of all, the mother church came out of Judea, came out of the city of Jerusalem. But in Acts chapter 8, a great shift has taken place. And it says that because of the persecution that was going on in and around Jerusalem, everybody, all of the Christians, except for the apostles, were scattered abroad. The new center of the church became Antioch. It was out of Antioch that Paul did his four missionary journeys. One day, on one of the missionary journeys, he had planned to go in a particular direction when he had a vision from God and he heard a voice saying to him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Well, when Paul heard the voice, he was actually going away from Macedonia, but he turned around, went into that area, and began to minister in Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica. Times change and things change, and what was a very prosperous church in Jerusalem is now struggling. They need help, and so Paul has said to the Macedonian churches, there is a need present in the body of Christ, and those congregations reached out to help, and Paul is praising them for what they did. And he's urging the people in Corinth to do the same thing. I think it's a picture in a nutshell of what God expects of us here at Grace Point at Mount Olive. Congregations start as little babies, don't they? Seems like that's the way of life. Every animal, every human being starts out as a baby and grows. Well, babies need a lot of help. They need a lot of assistance. So do young congregations. They need outside funds to help them. Sometimes the shoe is on the other foot, and a congregation that has thrived begins to struggle, and when that happens, then that congregation needs help. But as you grow, both spiritually and physically, congregations become strong in the Lord. And when they become strong, it's not so that they can be independent or self-sufficient, but so that they can take the gifts that God has given them and blessed them with and passed those gifts on to others. That's God's way. As a congregation, as individual Christians, we grow, we're blessed, we're prosperous so that we can pass it on. And I believe that the greatness of a church is not in what it receives, but the greatness of a church in what it gives. If you've read the outside sign going back and forth, or if you did before you came in this morning, you knew I was going to preach on giving. When I read the scripture this morning and introduced this series of sermons and introduced this particular sermon, you know I'm going to be preaching on giving. Now, it's a strange thing, but it seems like every time over the life of my ministry that I've stood up and said, okay, today I'm going to preach on giving, somebody says, oh no, he's talking about money again. That's all he ever talks about is money. Well, I'm in good company because you see, the Bible talks about money. It talks about giving. The Bible is a very complex, multifaceted book with many things to say on many subjects, some of which are difficult. And the Bible definitely has quite a bit to say about money. Money is a multifaceted part of our lives. We can't live without it. It can dominate our lives and control us, or it can be used in wonderful, life-giving ways to be a part of the work that God is doing in our world. In other words, through our giving, the Bible says we can make a difference. The founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, also had a lot to say about giving. In one of his most famous quotes, he said this, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." And then in a sermon entitled "The Use of Money," he said this, "We as Christians are to earn all we can, to save all we can, and to give all we can." The society in which many of us grew up was a postponement society. A lot of things we wanted to do, we postponed, we projected out into the future. One of these days, I'm going to do this. The society that we live in today has kind of turned that around and increasingly is saying, I'm not going to wait and do it. I might not ever do it. I'm going to do it now. When the postponement people and the do-it-now people and all of us in between have faced life, I think it's just natural that all of us have wanted to earn all we can. that we wanted to make all we could, that we wanted to see our bank account grow to enable us to do more things than we've been able to do. Not so much today, but during the postponement era or years, people were encouraged to save, to set aside money for a rainy day. Well, in our church budget, we have a line item called Rainy Day Fund to try to help us to get from one place to another. And if you go to people who are supposed to be experts in helping you to manage your money, then they will help you to decide how much money you need to maintain your lifestyle when you retire, and to try to help you build up to save all you can so that when that day comes, you'll be provided for the rest of your life. Earn all you can, save all you can. I tried to do that, but I have discovered since I have retired that there were some things I didn't plan on. I guess that's true for all of us. But John Wesley said it's important that you make as much as you can and you save as much as you can. And then he says, give as much as you can. I've shared this story with you on another occasion, but I'd like to share it again this morning. When I was a little boy, 8 years old, I was given what has turned out for me to be an incredible gift. I never will forget the Sunday morning when I answered the call to give my life to Christ, walked down the aisle, knelt at the altar, asked Jesus to become my Savior. It was a week or two after that I got this incredible gift. It was a box of church offering envelopes with my number on it, which meant I was a member of the church and I had the opportunity to contribute, to give to the work of the church, and I could put my money in my offering plate or my offering envelope and put it in the offering plate. Now that's different from the way it had been before that, because when they passed the offering plate, I'd hold out my hand, my granddaddy would give me a nickel or a dime or something, and I'd put it in the plate. But that was my granddaddy's money. And now my church has not only given me the opportunity to give, but they're expecting me to give. And I wanted to. Back then I got a quarter a week allowance. I would spend some of it going to the Spring Theater, where on a Saturday afternoon I could see two, not one, but two cowboy movies. I could see a newsreel and a cartoon. And I could get in and I could eat some popcorn and have a sugar daddy and then have a little bit of money left over. And so every Sunday morning I'd take a nickel of that 25 cents, I'd put it in the offering envelope, put the offering envelope in the plate, and I was so happy because I was able to give to God. Do we have any mathematicians in here If you put a nickel out of 25 in, how much percent is it? Anybody? 20. 20%. Now the Bible talks about a method of 10%. And there I was giving twice and feeling good about it. I also learned that there would be other opportunities during the year when they would take up special offerings. And I could give to that too. I'm so happy to share with you that with our White Christmas offering this year for the Methodist Children's Home, we received over $700. And I want to thank you for that. And for our birthday present for Jesus, we received over $1,800. And I want to thank you for that because you responded to needs in the life of the body. And so John Wesley said, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And then sometime later, he made this entry into his journal. 1789, he notes, Methodists of this day are ignoring the third point of the sermon. In other words, they're earning all they can and they're saving all they can, but he said they're not giving all they can. But then he went on to say, if Methodists would give all they can, then everybody would have enough. Think about that. If we gave all we could, everybody would have enough. But then somebody says, well, how can you give more than you're able to give? I'm glad you asked that. Have you ever noticed the Bible says that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord? And if they belong to the Lord, maybe every once in a while, he wants to put some of those cattle in your barn so that then you can give out of that extra cattle that he gives. Heard somebody else say, well, if I were to receive a gift or win a lottery of $1,000,000, I'd give $500,000 to God. Would you? I think it's a no-brainer. If you get $1,000,000 and you give $500,000, you still got $500,000 you didn't have. Time and again, I've seen God honor gifts that people chose to give by bringing in a little extra. And maybe you decided that you didn't need a new suit this year. Or maybe you decided that you didn't need to go out to eat quite as much. Or maybe the tires just lasted longer on your automobile. God has ways of increasing so that not only can we have more, but we can give more. If we give according to our ability, if we give according to our best, what did Michelle talk about earlier? The widow's mite. The least, absolute least coin. It wouldn't even been worth a penny. Pennies are not worth much now, anyway. There's been a story circulating online. I've seen it two or three times, and I never read it until this week, about a man who collected pennies for 41 years. Anybody ever see that story? Well, he ended up with 15 water jars full of pennies. And when he took them in and they cashed them all out, over 41 years, he had 5,100 and some odd dollars worth of pennies. That won't buy today what it would when I was a child. He used to say a penny saved is a penny earned. He used to, when I'd find a penny lying on the ground, I think I'd done something. Well, pennies aren't quite worth what they used to be. But God says, you do your best, and I'll do a miracle, or do miracles with your best. I've seen it happen. Time and time and time again. Paul says the Macedonians gave beyond their ability to give. Melissa Smith beat cancer twice while still in her 20s. But the high doses of chemotherapy that she had to undergo caused her to develop a neurological condition called transverse myelitis. This disease left her paralyzed from the waist down. She was told that she could never walk again. Because of her limited mobility, she was forced to drop out of nursing school. She had to give up her third floor apartment. Or she was stuck on her third floor apartment because she couldn't go up and down the stairs. And she couldn't afford to move out, and it became like a prison to her. Her future was bleak. After seeing her sister win two battles against cancer, Stephanie couldn't just stand by and watch Melissa be defeated by hopelessness. So she launched a GoFundMe campaign and reached out to an organization called Chive Charities, a group dedicated to championing causes like Melissa's and getting communities and individuals to rally behind needy people. Her sister Stephanie, along with Chive Charities, raised more than $400,000 for Melissa. And for a time, there was more than $837 a minute being added to the fund. God has a way of making a difference. And when you only focus on resources, it's easy to think that you can't make a difference. But when you focus on God, it's quite a different thing. As we see in 2 Corinthians, as we learn through Melissa's story, generous communities and generous individuals can have a huge impact. even when we don't have much as individuals to offer, when we put it all together. I want to share with you that I believe that little is much when we put it in the Master's hands. Is there anybody here today who does not want a blessing from God? Well, according to Luke 6:38, it's our measurement and not His that determines what our return will be. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Someone has created from this passage of Scripture what they call the go-giver principle. The idea is that when you go to the right source, are willing to make the right sacrifice, you will greatly determine the size of your return. And so the first thing that we do is to discern who the source is in giving and receiving. Jesus said we must give, so we need to determine to whom we're going to give and from whom we're going to receive. The second thing is sacrifice. The moment we understand the source, we need to ask, how much are we willing to sacrifice? How much are we willing to give? How big of a price are we willing to pay? Whatever that might be. Jesus tells us that when we find the source, give, and determine the measurement, it determines the size of our return. Given, it shall be given unto you. That would follow. The more you give, the more you receive. So with the standard that we give, the standard we choose for ourselves, you and I determine the amount of our return. I want to stop for a minute, do a little bragging. We had a really good year financially at Grace Point at Mount Olive. We ended the year at a whole lot better place than we were in when we started. And on top of the giving to the budget, we had a very, very successful Faith Promise campaign. Our desire was to raise $36,000 between May 15th and the end of the year to give us $3,000 a month to help us underwrite our budget, and so that whatever our shortfall at the end of the year, we could pay that. And I invite you to come to the admin council meeting in 2 weeks and you'll get a full accounting of what has come in and how God has blessed it. But we'll be going into the new year having balanced the budget in 2022 and having used money from the Faith Promise to support the block party, which is something that from the beginning the finance committee had agreed to do. We'll have in the bank quite a bit more left over than the $36,000 we were originally asked to give. So I want to brag on us. We've done a great thing. But we can't sit on our laurels. Our budget in 2023 will be higher than our budget in 2022. And so, I want to ask you to join me in prayerfully considering increasing your giving to the budget in 2023 over what you gave to the budget in 2022. One possible way of doing this is if you, like me, were given a monthly amount to Faith Promise. Faith Promise now is over. It ended at the end of December. If you want to give some more and call it Faith Promise, we'll take it. But that campaign is over. But if you're already used to giving X number of dollars a month because of your Faith Promise, consider adding it to what you give to the budget. Consider finding other ways to increase your giving. Anybody recognize the name Garrison Keillor? Lake Wobegon? Did you ever listen to that or read about any of that? Well, in one of his stories about the community of Lake Wobegon, he writes that none of the Lutherans in town ever wanted to talk about money in church. And it was his opinion, he said, some Sunday, somebody ought to stand up and say this. Somebody, not the preacher, ought to stand up and say this. Listen, you know we've got expenses around here. Why don't you think about what you gave last year, give a little more this year, and add 10% on top of that, because you're all a bunch of tight-fisted Norwegians. End of quote. My question is, what do you think would happen in 2023 here at Grace Point at Mount Olive if we heeded his advice? I have placed my check for the month of January in the offering plate this morning. And my check reflects an increase in what I gave last year. And I have decided to continue giving the amount that I was given to Faith Promise. Will you prayerfully consider joining me? Thank you.